Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, it is mid-May. We got a little some things to update on. How are you doing? You ready to go?
Playing hurt.
You're playing hurt.
Yeah, playing hurt.
You know, I took one look at you, and my first question was, what happened to the other guy?
I texted you, and I said, don't be alarmed. I'm looking like I'm dying. And then I sent you a separate text message that basically alluded to the fact that I looked like I played nose tackle for the 85 Bears.
Yeah. You got a full nasal strip going.
My face is like flush and puffy. I look like absolute hell. But I'm here.
You are here. That is the point. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are not committed to this year podcast, because
110% effort.
Absolutely. No quit in this man. We are here for you. We are here in mid-May to talk ACC football for you guys. We are going to do that. Mike, let's jump in with a story that hit today. So we've got a couple of news stories we're going to hit on, a couple little updates that have happened, and then we've got a listener question, and I think that'll be plenty for a podcast that we're going to act like goes 45 minutes and actually goes like an hour and 10. So everybody buckle up. Let's start with a news story, Mike. There was important news that dropped today from the NCAA that kind of rolls into a bigger story that has been in the discussion in the news here for the last week or two in college football. Mike, what was that ruling that came out from the NCAA today?
Essentially, divisions are abolished, Joey, if you want to, right? It's given conferences the wherewithal to go ahead, scrap your divisions, the traditional format basically for every conference except for the Big 12. And the only reason why the Big 12 doesn't have divisions is because you guys will remember, teams transfer out. They're like, all right, well, what are we going to do now with our existing divisions? We're just going to have the top two teams play each other. The NCAA kind of let that go because Big 12 was only playing with 10 teams at one point in time. So they were like, you know, we're just going to kind of let that continue.
Yeah, I mean, you play a nine-game conference schedule. You just play a round robin at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the top two teams in terms of win percentage faced off in the Big 12 championship game. Well, now, Joey, every conference can do that. Mm-hmm. The NCAA is essentially letting that happen now, which makes me wonder, like, where was this all along? Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't you just let conferences do this before? Seems kind of harmless to me, but...
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's interesting is that people don't realize, and it's easy to just not notice, that the NCAA actually, up until recently now, has had laws or bylaws, rules, whatever you want to call them, around like how you are allowed to run a conference championship game. And there's some really interesting history, I think, that Andy Staples has gotten into on his podcast a couple times recently, is that there was a rule proposed back in like the late 80s by some like Division III conference or something up in Pennsylvania that wanted to have a conference championship game. So they wrote the rule that, you know, if a conference has at least 14 teams, we can have a conference championship game. And then before the rule was actually passed, there was another conference that reached out and was like, hey, can we just like change that to 12, you know, so that we could have one too? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? Like 12 teams, okay. Next thing you know, you got a rule, and now the SEC has divisions, and everyone's doing that and having conference championship games and the whole thing. So it was kind of this like by accident thing that happened. But yeah, a lot of those rules of, you know, how many teams you have to have, the fact you have to break it into divisions, all that, like you said, Mike, kind of going out the window. And really where that's relevant is, again, going back over the past couple of weeks, we've heard a lot about the ACC redoing its scheduling model, and this only seems to really lend itself perfectly to pave the way for the ACC to make that change.
Yeah, and I hate the scheduling model, by the way. I hate it.
Do you?
I do, and I'll get into that. I hate parts of it. Okay. I like the idea. I hate parts of it. Mm-hmm. So the ACC is going with a 3-5-5 scheduling format. What that means, Joey, is that there are going to be three permanent opponents for each school. Mm-hmm. They will play those three opponents every single year. Mm-hmm. Their remaining five opponents will rotate on and off the schedule. On a biannual basis every other year, mm-hmm. right? You're going to have new five teams, you know, coming onto the schedule, you know, five new conference opponents, but you'll still have those remaining three like permanent ACC teams that you'll play against every year. I hate the three team aspect of it because I don't think there are enough teams that have like relevant, like permanent rivalry games, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I think you could do this in a way where like Florida State, Miami always play, Virginia, Virginia Tech always play, North Carolina, NC State always play. I think you can still find a way to do that without doing this like 3-5-5 formula. I don't love it. I like the principle of it. I just don't like the three permanent opponents part of it because I think there are going to be some schools who are going to have these three permanent opponents with no real rhyme or reason to like why the league chose those three teams for that specific opponent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's going to be a question of several schools. So I'm not crazy about that part, but I do like the general principle of we're not seeing like the same five coastal teams every year, right? And then right. you're seeing like a couple or same six, I guess, and then crossover games. And so you always have one permanent crossover opponent in the other division. It's like you're seeing the same schedule year in and year out. And it's really a matter of like 3, 4, 5 years before you see an opponent from a different division. You know, Virginia Tech, I think, would love to have Blacksburg popping on a Saturday night to welcome Clemson to town like they did in 2017. I'm sure they would like to do something like that more often. It made the town a ton of money that weekend. College game day was there, et cetera. You really didn't have that for a while. You know, it's been the same teams every single year, the one permanent crossover, then the one random team from the other division. And so getting rid of that, I think, is a good thing, but I don't like the three permanent opponents part of it.
Sure. And that's fair. I think there's maybe something to that. I think there's a couple things that I think are worth noting here. Number one is that this 3-5-5 model is similar but distinctly different from the quote-unquote pods model that we've talked about before. So in this one, for instance, I think what I've seen a lot of places talking about is Georgia Tech would probably be paired up with Clemson, Florida State, and Duke. Now, in a pods model, that would mean that Clemson is paired up with Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Duke. Duke is paired up with Clemson, Florida State, and Georgia Tech, etc. In this one, Georgia Tech has those three matchups, but then Florida State would have Georgia Tech, probably Miami, and maybe Clemson. Clemson would have Georgia Tech, NC State, and, you know, pick somebody else. Miami gets Florida State, Virginia Tech, and so, you know, so it's a little bit more fluid from team to team rather than basically just creating mini divisions. So that's one thing. I don't really mind it, Mike. I think there are actually a good number of these, and kind of what I'm saying is a likely scenario for Georgia Tech. You know, you're saying that there's a lot of these games that that really don't need to be played on an annual basis. In a lot of cases, I think there's some loss. Like, we're probably not going to be seeing the Tecmo Bowl every year at this point. That's probably going to be an every other year kind of thing. You know, I think there are some of these, you know, somewhat rivalry games at least that have come to be that we're going to see a little bit less. But in return, now Georgia Tech gets to play Florida State at least every 2 years instead of having not played them since the Miracle on Techwood Drive in 2015, aside from the weird, wonky 2020 schedule that was totally reworked and everything went out the window anyways, right? Like,
that was a lot of fun that year.
It wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. So, yeah, I mean, you get those things where you have teams in the same conference that don't play each other for years and years and years on end. And that's really one of the silly and kind of dumb things about this divisional model, the way it's worked out, and especially with how the conference has grown to where now you only have one rotating cross-divisional game per year. So I'm in favor of it. I like the model a lot. I think it'll make for some more interesting scheduling and TV. I think it makes for better ticket sales, I'm guessing, and ability to draw interest in some of these games. I think it's a good thing. I think it's interesting to see kind of where they're going to line up some of these teams together because, again, you know, some of these are more traditional rivalries and some of the obvious, really obvious ones. I mean, again, you mentioned Miami, Florida State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, like some of those are going to be preserved. But then you have some other like newer teams in the conference that, you know, I don't know that Louisville has a ton of traditional rivals within the conference. So like, what do you do with them? Right. So there's some opportunity. And honestly, what that could do is create new rivalries, which is kind of fun too. So, I'm in favor. I think it's good for the conference. I think it's good for college football. I think it'll make this show a lot more fun to do, with the exception of you know, Georgia Tech being the real Tech for like 2 full years because they won't play Virginia Tech in between.
Yeah, that's something I've always been concerned about in the Jeff Collins era.
Yeah, that's a big concern, is Georgia Tech winning like any game is a big concern, Mike.
Mostly because you don't know how to spend the rest of your Saturday after you win a game, right? It's like, do I celebrate?
What do I do with my hands?
Right.
You go to confession? Like, what? What do we do?
Do we record a Saturday night recap hammer? Yes.
I have nothing to rant about. It's strange. So, yeah, that's one of the interesting things. I think, honestly, and the other piece of this, Mike, that I think is great is we are very reasonably looking at this starting up for the fall of 23. We already have a schedule in place for this fall, but beyond that, this is 100% on the table. And so that could be a really fun thing that we're talking about here in just the next 12 months or so. Is something kind of new and kind of different. And if I'm not mistaken, the NCAA put out this ruling, and like within 15 minutes, the Pac-12 came out and like said, we're doing away with our divisions or something like that. I mean, it was like
almost like that was planned in lockstep.
Right, huh? Right. Yeah, it's the whole NBA free agency thing of you just, you know, negotiated a long, complicated contract within the first 8 minutes of free agency. That's crazy, man. Good job.
That's weird. 12:06 a.m. You got a deal already?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Weird.
So, anyways, I thought that was a fun thing, Mike, and I'm looking forward to it personally.
Yeah, I'm more mad that Virginia Tech has to play like Boston College every year for no goddamn reason.
Okay, so that was a thing that Andy Staples and or Ari Wasserman, I think, mentioned in particular. They were like, people were so mad about that, and I think that they kind of missed the point. So you tell me if I've got this right. My understanding is not that those teams like really have it out for each other, kind of want to be away from each other as much as they're just like bored of playing each other and don't see the point, or you know, don't see a value in it.
It's B. Yeah, the latter. Yeah, I got no actual animosity for Boston College. I don't care. I mean,
yeah,
they beat Tech some years, Tech beats them in others. They're fine. Mm-hmm. I just so sick of watching that game every year.
I mean, aside from the obvious pairing with Virginia, I'm sure you could come up with two former Big East matchups that you're probably more enthused about. You know, if I gave you Virginia Tech with Virginia, North Carolina, and Miami, you would probably go nuts over that. Like that's,
I'd sign up. Yeah, like where do I sign?
Schedule.
Yeah, where do I sign?
But of course, the North Carolina schools are all going to be paired together, like pretty much flawlessly. So we'll see how that goes.
Wake, Duke, UNC, NC State.
Mm-hmm. God, pretty much a round robin there is kind of what I would expect.
Yeah.
So have fun with that.
That'll be fun for Duke.
And so I guess what this means, Mike, is ultimately, again, like as you were referring to before, is without divisions, what you end up with is the top two teams in terms of win percentage would then go to Charlotte to play for the ACC championship. So you would no longer have 10-2 NC State missing out on the ACC championship because they're in the same division as 12-0 Clemson. And instead, 8-4, take your pick of Coastal team makes it instead. You know, you would be able to get NC State there as well.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this on a recent podcast, but like with the exception of this past year when Pitt won the conference, like how often has it been in recent years where the second best team in the ACC was in Clemson's division? It's happened pretty frequently.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
At least somebody in the running for second best.
Right. I mean, since you and I have started this podcast, it's been pretty consistently another Atlantic school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the exception, I guess, being the weird fluky Miami team that had like, you know, plus 1,000 turnover margin. Malik Rozier.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were pronouncing his name wrong all year. Doesn't matter. He sucked. Didn't matter.
Mike, he was a winner. Okay.
That Miami team. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Cam knew that. Yeah, that was the whole thing.
He did.
Cam was playing that up. He knew that team wasn't any good, and he just played it up on the pod. We had him on like three times. He beat Miami, beat Virginia Tech and Notre Dame in back to back weeks. They're flashing the turnover chain, And then we have Cam on. He goes, yeah, this team's awesome. It's like, all right, Cam, tell us what you really think. He goes, this quarterback is not any good. We don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Sorry for my Miami rant. Anyway, most of the second best teams have come out of the Atlantic since we started this podcast.
Yeah, you're correct. I'm trying to remember who the backup was. That was N'Kosi Perry was the backup.
Right? N'Kosi Perry.
There you go.
Yeah. I almost said Ja'Cory Harris. I was that for a throwback a decade ago.
That was before the podcast.
I saw him my freshman year at Tech. That was the Logan Thomas touchdown run and with like 2 minutes left. That game was lit. It was Mike Patrick on the call for ESPN. Hell yeah. Good old days.
Good times, man. Good times. Let's keep the good times rolling here.
There you go.
There we go. What else we got? Mike, we have betting odds.
Yeah, we do. Thank God for that.
Right? Yep. The lifeblood of this show. Mike, it was a little over a week ago. I got an email with some opening conference championship odds for the ACC, among others. This is
from, are these from BetUS?
They are not from BetUS. That is not. They are not from America's alleged favorite sports book.
Favorite online sports book. I'm looking at an email. I won't go any further. But I'm looking at an email chain right now as we speak. I opened it up from February.
Oh no!
And all you can do is laugh. Let's put it that way.
We'll take that off air.
Yeah, that guy's dead in a barrel somewhere.
That was almost us. we have conference championship odds. I am curious. I'm going to go through these real quick, and I am curious as to which of them stick out to you as interesting value here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So we'll go from shortest odds, you know, the favorite, to the longest odds, the biggest underdog. Mike, who's the favorite?
Clemson.
They're at 2-3. So a little less than even money that you're getting on a future for Clemson to win the ACC. Second favorite is Miami at 5-1, Pittsburgh at 9-1, NC State 10-1, North Carolina 11-1, Wake Forest 20-1, Florida State 33-1, Virginia also 33-1, Boston College 40, Louisville 66, Virginia Tech, your Hokies 80. My Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, 125.
Holy God.
Syracuse, 150. And would you like to guess Duke's odds, Mike?
210.
Higher.
Yikes. 240.
Double it.
Yikes.
500-1.
Yikes.
$1 wins you 500 if Duke wins the ACC championship. That's a little bit of a rebuild, Mike. Little bit of a rebuild going on in Durham.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're the worst team in the conference by a lot, but yikes.
Yeah, a little bit rough. Mike, there were a couple of these that stuck out to me as very interesting value propositions.
I already have my favorite.
Who's your favorite?
NC State.
At 10-1. I agree. That was definitely one that stuck out.
Yep. Devin Leary coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Skill talent on the outside. Good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Dorn's a good coach, it turns out. Yeah, I like that.
They've got the pieces there, I think. All over that team. I think that's I like that a lot. Especially if you're looking to fade Clemson in the Atlantic Division. I think that's a really, really good way to go.
Yep.
You're going to laugh at me for this. I also like North Carolina at 11-1. Sure, why not? I mean, it's a talented roster. Like, new defensive coordinator, you know, you lose Sam Howell, but, I mean, you've got some pretty good talent in that room coming in to replace him. I think there's just a chance. I don't hate it at 11-1. And then
is there a chance that Miami might be a little overvalued?
Yeah, there's a really good chance of that.
I think Pitt should be the favorite in the Coastal. Is that weird?
We've had this conversation. It is weird because of what I'm seeing Pitt losing, both, you know, player wise and coach wise, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
you know, they're not going to repeat after last year with all that they lost. And then I look at the other six teams in the Coastal, and I'm like, who can't Pitt beat here? So
it's it's less about Pitt and more about the rest of the teams in the division.
Yeah. I think it's probably right that Miami is considered the favorite, especially considering the quarterback they've got. I don't think this is a quick fix for Mario Cristobal, though, and especially with that offensive line, it is going to take some time to get it right. They might win the Coastal Division, but a couple of these teams that have really good defensive fronts, I think, are going to give Miami some pretty big problems this year.
I agree.
We will see. I'm going to give you the other one, Mike, and this is a – I don't usually do this. I wouldn't normally do this. I kind of like Clemson at 2-3. Like, you go look at the odds that we're getting at this time of year for Clemson in previous years.
Yeah, that's very true. When you take into historical context, these are pretty good odds for Clemson.
This is way better odds. Usually you're getting like 1-8 or something like that at this point of the year, maybe 1-10. At 2-3, I mean, it's less than even money, but that's still the most talented roster in the ACC. They've got Cade Klubnik there behind DJU as a second option if the quarterback thing still isn't working out. Like, there's —
you mean first option?
It very well might be. There is clearly a path. I mean, obviously there's a path for Clemson to win the conference and maybe even run away with it. You know, maybe 2021 was a blip. I don't know.
We're gonna find out.
Yeah,
a lot of coaching changes, and I think Clemson should be the favorite. You're right. Historically speaking, you don't get these kind of odds for Clemson very often, but you don't get a quarterback playing as poorly as DJU very often at Clemson either.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You want any part of Boston College at 40-1?
I don't mind it, but I think they're a clear step below NC State for sure. A clear step below Clemson, then probably a half step behind NC State, I would say. But at 40-1, why not take a flyer on it?
I'm just banking on Phil Dracovic coming back. Man, with what he looked like in 2020 and in year three under Jeff Hafley, I don't think it's the craziest thing to suggest that Boston College could kind of catch fire this fall.
No, it's not crazy at all. How healthy is Dracovic is the question. So we'll see. I mean, he came back from his wrist injury end of last year and did not look very good. He was not healthy. Not really sure why he came back like early.
Mm-hmm.
He came back with three games left. And that was — BC was like fighting for a bowl game, obviously, you know, and you and I had the theory that maybe he was trying to put something on tape for scouts, but like, he was not himself.
Right.
Not healthy.
No, so, he was not.
What's his health look like? I'm willing to give him a pass for the poor play the last few games. I mean, he just was not 100%.
Yeah. As soon as he went out with that injury, whenever he came back, whatever he did after that, I'm kind of throwing that all out. I think give some time to heal up. I think it was a wrist.
It was his wrist. Yep. It was his wrist.
I think that was causing some issues still down the stretch.
Yeah.
So if he's right and everything else gels, I think there's a path there for Boston College as well.
I agree. If you're Jeff Hafley, I understand why you'd play like 50% of Phil Dracovic over like 90% of Dennis Grossell.
Uh-huh.
I watched that live against Clemson a few years ago. I've told this several times. The worst quarterback play I've ever seen in my entire life.
Play 50% of Phil Dracovic over 110% of Dennis Grossell.
Yeah.
Grossell's playing
real hard.
Grossell's playing the game of his life. You still take whatever Dracovic can get you at 50%.
Grossell, he tries real hard, you know.
This is a Dennis Grossell stan show, so don't get us wrong. We love that guy.
That was like when West Virginia was playing Clint Trickett at quarterback. I was like, dear God, this kid's like 145 pounds, and he's really trying. But
how did we get here?
God. Yeah.
All right, well, there's your odds. Again, kind of like Clemson at 2-3, NC State at 10-1, North Carolina 11-1. I don't know, maybe Pitt at 9-1, Boston College 40-1. I don't hate those either. So if you can find those somewhere, yeah, sure, go do it.
America's favorite online sports book.
Yep. speaking of organizations that sponsor us, Mike, let's remind the people about section103.com.
An actual sponsor,
and that, yeah, it's actually a really good partner for us, and we really appreciate it.
Very good.
Them. Yep. Mike, it is the best place on the internet to go find Georgia Tech apparel. It is so good. It is so hard to find good stuff for Georgia Tech anywhere else. It is not hard to find it at section103.com. They've got t-shirts, they've got sweatshirts, they've got hoodies, they've got things in a like kind of performance wear, they've got cotton, things in the official Tech gold, they've got that ATL logo, all the official word marks of Georgia Tech. Everything. They've got a beautiful baseball shirt. It's that kind of three-quarter length t-shirt with the white t-shirt with navy sleeves and script jackets across it. Georgia Tech trying to get into the College World Series, or the postseason, I guess. Oh, the tournament.
I mean, do we want to talk about college baseball teams? Because this might turn into a college baseball podcast. Virginia Tech is one of the best teams in the country, Joey.
Funny how that makes you a college baseball fan all of a sudden, right?
I know. God.
Anyways, if you want to support Georgia Tech in the NCAA tournament upcoming, go buy something from section103.com. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com. Tell them we sent you. Cannot recommend it enough. We have some, both of us do. We love our Section 103. It's always a good day when I get to wear one of my Section 103 shirts. Highly recommend that you go join us and do the same.
The shirts are so good. Even I wear Georgia Tech apparel.
They are great.
Yep. Bobby Dodd's my happy place. Never been there a day in my life. It's my happy place.
It's all about supporting the real tech, Mike. That's all it's all about.
That's what I'm trying to do, I guess.
Promo code GOACC at section103.com. Mike, let's keep moving. Our last kind of newsy show was a little bit more of a venting, like therapy session for you and I, we'll say. Some frustration surrounding the Jordan Addison.
People seem to like
situation.
That too, by the way.
Yeah, got some good reviews on that.
We did.
The only update that we have is that when we recorded that episode, it was not official that Jordan Addison was in the transfer portal. A lot of it was still kind of speculative and reports and sources and this, that, and the other thing. We have since found out that he is officially in the transfer portal. He has left the door open to coming back to Pittsburgh. At this point, I would be shocked if that actually happens. He has since kind of gone on this little tour of USC and Texas and a couple other places. I think it was in Tuscaloosa at one point. There have been suggestions that perhaps he or others have been given the instruction, just go visit other places so it doesn't look like you have just like committed to this place before you were even in the portal.
Right.
The whole thing continues to irritate me. That's what
it sucks.
Like this kind of stuff is nonsense. If people want to transfer, that's okay. But I thought about it this way. If you and I are a student in college, we can transfer as long as our credits transfer over. That's fine. You don't have other colleges reaching out to you saying, "Hey, do you want to come over here?"
Right.
You don't poach people that way. That's the piece of it that really irritates me. And so it seems like it's going to happen. It's going to come to fruition, and Jordan Addison will be playing elsewhere from Pittsburgh. And just no Pitt fans. We've got your back on that one. That blows.
It feels like Jordan Addison is almost waiting for things to calm down before he actually transfers to USC. Doesn't it feel that way?
A little bit.
Like Pete Thamel made it seem like it was a certainty, right? I hate it, and I ranted about that, like how I hated the reporting on that. He's just doing his job, and that didn't sit well with me.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, he's just kind of been Jordan Addison has just been like in the transfer portal with no true destination. We're like, all right, where is he going? I still think it's USC, don't you?
Most likely. The Texas and the Alabama thing makes sense to me. If you look at the receivers that Alabama has put out in recent years, like I can see why that would be attractive to a really good wide receiver. And then B, if I'm not mistaken, his wide receivers coach from Pittsburgh got hired on at Texas this offseason. Does that sound right? I need to go.
That sounds right to me.
Where's the name?
Verify on the Google machine.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Wide receivers coach. Brennan Marion. Yeah, he was at Pittsburgh up until last year, and he was coaching Jordan Addison. Now he's at Texas under Steve Sarkisian. So you understand, him wanting to go play for the guy that he's been playing for the last 2 years.
Yeah, so, and Jordan Addison's been working out in Texas as well. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do it that way you will.
Yeah. So yeah, looks like you and I will likely not be covering Jordan Addison this fall as host of an ACC podcast, and that's kind of sad, kind of frustrating, Mike. That's it.
Thanks, NCAA.
Yep. Other piece of transfer news that came out in the last couple of days, and this caught me completely and totally off guard. I believe that we mentioned on this program that Clemson backup quarterback Ty Pumachon, who I believe was in the same recruiting class as Big Cinco, he was pretty consistently the backup for the last couple of years. I know he had a couple of injury issues that he dealt with. He entered the transfer portal back in December. I think it was like the very end of December kind of thing. He announced in the last couple of days that he is committed to Georgia Tech. He is going to go to Atlanta, to probably about the nearest Power 5 school by driving distance, if I'd imagine. Maybe Georgia's closer. But he's going to be headed to Atlanta to play for Jeff Collins. I didn't label quarterback as explicitly a position of need for Georgia Tech, but it's not like that's a really well-settled, comfortable situation either, so...
I would name coach as a position of need.
Yeah, almost anything is pretty much a position of need for this team at this point. So, you know, anybody, anything can help, whatever, that's fine.
But I got a question, though. Is Ty Pumachon, is he above the line yet? He just transferred in. Is he above the line?
Well, Mike, he just got there, and as you know, competition is king, so... you know, we got to wait and make sure that he is competing and getting better every single day, and he's a
starters.
Good teammate, and
right.
That he emphasizes special teams. That's important too. Even, you know, it doesn't matter if you're good at special teams, you just got to emphasize it.
Jeff Collins would be like the greatest, like, 4-win high school coach ever.
This has the makings of like a movie or like a TV show, like a sitcom. And it's totally unbelievable, except it's real life. And this is what Georgia Tech fans deal with right now. So, yeah,
Do you think he'll be worse than Fuente by the end?
I mean, if not,
because, and let me, can I explain real quick?
Hmm.
So Virginia Tech held on to him through the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they probably would have found a way to negotiate the buyout, move on. Because that's what they did, right? They negotiated the buyout down a little bit, mm-hmm. paid it to him in like 2 installments, said, see you later, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Enjoy the rest of your life, all your nice riches.
Yeah.
Jeff Collins, it's kind of a similar situation where if Georgia Tech could have fired him, they probably would have already.
Hmm. Yeah.
So... I wonder now, it's like, all right, we got to hold on to him longer than we want to. Does it start to just be like amongst the fan base, Georgia Tech is just like, oh my God, please, like, pull it in my brain. Like, let's end this.
My understanding is that it's a little bit of a complicated, sticky situation where I think the boosters want him gone, but the AD is kind of sticking his neck out for Collins, and those two might have their fates married at this point of if Collins is going to go, the AD is going to go too.
Ooh, got to fire Stansbury as well, huh?
Maybe. And to some degree, maybe that is a bit of a throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing.
Interesting.
Not parenting advice, by the way, Mike, but,
thank you. We're coming. It's almost that time.
Yeah, we're getting dead close. There. Just trying to make sure I'm being clear here.
I appreciate that.
You know, and it seems like a lot of the other sports have done really well since Stansbury has been there. And yet, this is the one that is going to end up spending a lot of other people's money. And that's the thing that people will get frustrated about, I think. And so, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think based on what I've seen so far, assuming nothing drastically changes, I mean, almost certainly he's going to be worse than Fuente when fired. Like,
hard to imagine. Sorry. As someone who just went through that, it's hard to imagine.
I think Fuente made a bowl game almost every year, didn't he? Like,
he did.
With the exception of sniffed one.
With the exception of one season, 2018. And I guess the COVID year, they decided they weren't going to play in one. Somebody did. Optimum. Somebody made that call. They said it was a players only meeting, but
right,
not what I'm hearing. So,
well, there you go. So, yeah. So yeah. Ty Pumachon coming to the flats near you.
UB1.
Maybe. Can't be a whole lot worse, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah, we will see. Mike, anything else before we get to our listener question?
I don't think so. I'm just trying to breathe.
We're making good time here.
We are making good time, and that's mostly because I can't be long-winded tonight because I literally can't breathe. So we should kind of go this route more often. We'd have more efficient shows.
I was going to say, we should restrict your breathing more frequently. That's good.
We wouldn't be recording for an hour and 40 minutes. And then at the 35 minutes, we talk before we hit record.
Whoops. Yep. We got a question in, Mike, a little over a week ago from Shane. I believe this is Shane Del Solar. Asks, do scholarships even matter anymore with all of the NIL money going around? Why haven't we seen a, quote, NIL walk-on, a paid player who doesn't count against the 85 scholarship limit? It's a good question. I think the way that the rules are currently structured, it seems like they leave pretty much everything open and on the table. Like, there is nothing really structurally that stops this from happening. I do think in terms of, you know, paying for a scholarship for a player, like, those aren't cheap.
No, it's also hard too, because schools can't, quote unquote, be directly involved in NIL dealings. Right. Mm-hmm. So
allegedly,
so you're getting to the point where it would be so widespread where coaches like, all right, we got these like 25 recruits and you gotta pay all of them, or we really want this kid, but we can't put him on scholarship. So can you just give him like $300,000 or $400,000 so that he's not only getting his school paid for, but he's getting a little pocket change as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to pull off even in a society right now in college football where you can just kind of do whatever the hell you feel like.
Yeah. I think one of the other things I've heard pointed out is this has come up in a couple different places is if you're a high schooler and you're being offered a scholarship to go to, you know, call it Virginia, or you're being offered money to come in as a walk-on to Tennessee, like one of the things you got to consider is that technically that scholarship is guaranteed for 4 years to Virginia. So you know that you're going to have next 4 years covered. There's also room and board and those kinds of things being covered as well. At Tennessee, there's not really any rules of, you know, how long does this contract or this offer have to last for. They could pull it out from under you basically at any second, it seems like. And so I think there's a lot more risk involved for the player if they wanted to try to take that offer.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see why they might be inclined to avoid that or be extra cautious if that was something they were considering.
Yeah, and the folks who are going to try to rebut your argument are like, well, coaches can pull scholarships out from under players. It doesn't really happen that often. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear like the one-offs here and there, but it really doesn't. Coaches don't do that very often. Like if there's like an injury or something like that, like they try to do the right thing. Most coaches try to do the right thing and keep those kids on scholarship. It's not as widespread as you would think it is.
Yeah. And I think coaches tend to try to be honest with the players too about, you know, there's something to be said about just, you know, I'm going to keep you on scholarship, but you're not good enough to play here kind of thing. So you can stick around and stay on the roster and that kind of thing, but you're probably not going to get into a game, but you still have to come to practice and lift weights and do all that stuff to retain your scholarship. So the player then gets to decide, well, is this really all worth it to then sit around and do nothing on Saturdays and maybe not even put on pads, much less get on the field. So there's obviously some things that coaches do to push players out, but it's not explicitly yanking the scholarship either.
Right. Right. They try to keep their name out of the headlines as much as possible.
Yeah. Certainly for reasons along those lines. So,
right. Yeah. Because you don't want to be labeled as just like a terrible human being.
So that's, I mean, that's part of it. I think that's a lot of the reasoning, Shane, is, I mean, in theory, what you're saying is possible and it's on the table, but there's reasons I think that some of the participants within that system would kind of shy away from it. And, you know, the other thing too, I think to keep in mind, I think this has actually come out since Shane sent the question in about 10 days ago. The NCAA came back out and put out some additional guidance, I think, or rulings surrounding like what qualifies or what a collective qualifies as, and basically,
yeah, from an NIL standpoint, yeah.
So
yeah, collectives are now seen as boosters,
right? Which further complicates the whole getting involved with players thing,
right?
Will that hold up in court? Almost certainly not. Like,
no shot.
The NCAA is in absolute shambles right now as it relates to trying to govern college football. So, you know, anything seems like it's fair game, but
it's been a horrible offseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you define horrible? Or what makes it explicitly horrible?
From January to late May, the college football landscape is being completely turned on its head because we are now poaching players from other schools and don't really care if the whole world knows it.
Well, and being turned on its head in a way that basically does not stand to benefit almost anybody in the ACC.
Correct. Except Clemson, maybe.
Yeah, there's, and maybe the two Florida schools, and that's...
Yeah. Florida State, Miami, Clemson.
That's probably about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you. It's hadn't been a change for the better, that's for sure.
No.
So... So on that happy note, Mike, I think that's all I've got. anything else that we need to hit on here before we get out of here and let you get back to breathing?
I can't wait to go to bed.
Well, let's expedite that here. We're going to get out of here. We will come back and continue recording. We need to do some more installments of Tell Us About Your Team. We've gotten some good feedback so far, but keep letting us hear what you think. And if you're interested in helping out on a team we haven't recorded about, let us know. We've gotten some good offers. We've got some more teams that we need to get with people about. So looking forward to doing those here in the next few weeks, hopefully, before we start getting into preview season. It's not that far away, Mike. Almost there.
That's right. Coming up quick. Coming up even quicker this year for different reasons.
Sure is. Yeah. Mike, let's get out of here. They can come find us on Twitter. Give us their thoughts on anything we've said tonight. Let us know. We are at FTRS Joey, at Mike McDaniel SI. Together, we're at BC Podcast ACC. Come find us on Twitter. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. All the good places you go find podcasts, go find us there. Hit the subscribe button, the follow button. Do it on your phone, on your tablet. Do it on your computer. All those things help us. We really appreciate those who do. Mike, they can send us an email to the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Shane did that. And that you know, you saw how that ended up. His question got on the show. So good job, Shane.
Yeah. Happens frequently.
Sure does.
Oh, not just with Shane, with everybody.
Yeah, more than just Shane.
Yeah.
But frequently, Shane, that's for sure.
Yeah, Shane asks a lot of good questions.
Those are great questions, Shane. Thank you. Mike, where else can they find us on the social medias?
Facebook, facebook.com/basketballconference. Rate, review, find all of our podcasts here, Jay.
Please do. Appreciate it. Mike, that's all I got. Anything else before we get out of here?
Shout out Scott, graduating from his master's program tomorrow. So,
your brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, yep.
Number one podcast stan, self-proclaimed.
But probably.
I'll give him credit for that too, yeah. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Congrats, Scott. Proud of you, happy for you. And maybe now you'll have time to like text and gamble with us and stuff.
Yeah. Go on Twitter, like the rest of us degenerates.
Exactly. All right, Mike, this has been fun. We will come back and do it again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you again soon. And until next time, go ACC.